there's a sitting today, isn't it? It seems everybody wants to sit on the right today. If you could introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Krista Levendal. I'm from the research unit, and I'm the researcher for this committee. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ayanda Boss. I'm the committee secretary of this committee.
I don't want to tell you what someone said just now. I think they don't know you because you don't look fat anymore. It's the same researcher we had last night. Somebody says you are a new researcher.
I'm Mrs. Murutwa Mastori, popularly known as Mastori. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mastori. I'm Ranji Reddy. I'm the director in the Office on the Status of Women in the Presidency.
Good morning. I'm Kodiswa Makasi. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Nombuyise Longele, member of this committee.
Good morning. I'm Linda Saisi. I'm from Office on Status of Women. I'm a deputy director. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Imelda Jeff. I am an independent consultant. I've been working with the OSW, but I also work with a number of other government departments.
Morning, it's Evan Putting from Parliamentary Communication Services.
My name is Mzuyanda. Their name is Langa. I'm a support staff.
Yeah, and the lady that has just come in is
Honorable
Ubongi Ntuli Mzele Mpumalanga. Ilunga lale committee.
Okay. I'm Bongi Ntuli. I'm a member of parliament, member of this committee from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, and thank you very much, the members of the Office of the State of the Union. I'll just talk about a few apologies, but firstly, I want to notify this this meeting here that we don't have the opposition attending today because they apologize. The members of the opposition, it shouldn't look unusual to you that it is only ANC members who are here.
It shouldn't look unusual to you that the ANC members, it's only the ANC members. The opposition members have apologized. We have got Miss Semple, she's apologizing due to party business in Gauteng. She's a member of the DA, a member of this committee. Makosazana Mdlalose, she won't be coming because she's got a other commitments, I think. And this one is from Mam Robi, DM Robi. We know that she's not well. She's at home. And so far, where are the other colleagues? Oh, Mrs. Vilakazi. She will not be able to attend the above-mentioned committee in KwaZulu-Natal on a briefing. And most of the members from the NCOP have apologized telephonically. most of the members from the LCO. This committee comprises of two houses, actually. The committee comprises of the National Council of Provinces and the National Assembly. And the members of the opposition parties from both houses. Unfortunately, we have got these apologies today, but some of them are not written apologies. So you should understand, we have got someone who wants to understand what is happening in this committee sitting there, and I thought I should explain to them. Okay.
Now we've got one
item on the agenda. It is the budget of the Office of the Status of Women. We thought it is important for the Status of Women to come and give us a briefing on this, so that when we go and debate, when is the debate? Next week. We are empowered, you know, so that we know what we are talking about. And now we are going to give you this opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom Story. Just to start off with, I'd want to just remind the committee members that there are three documents that we have forwarded, so that you know, you could also then look at those three documents, even though we're projecting on screen. At the outset, Madam Chair, the OSW would like to thank you for this opportunity. And it's come very timely as well, because we just managed to complete the process we were embarking on. So hopefully your document should still be indicating draft across it. After our discussions today and following perhaps the NGM inputs, in the next NGM inputs, we'll be able to then make a more concise and a more comprehensive document. The reason I'm saying that is you'll notice as it unfolds, the first document that I think Ayanda would have printed for you would be a copy of the presentation. The second document that you should have will be a document that is called Strategy and Operational Plan for the OSW. It's a very thick document. I'll explain to you now why it's so thick. And the third one you should be seeing is a budget as it stands in the presidency. All right, so I think what we'll do is we'll just start at the outset with the document that says operational plan, strategy and operational plan. For members that were not there last week, maybe I should just indicate that the OSW didn't have a director for, I think, almost 8 months. And the office was literally shut down, other than a few things that the chief director could do. I took on the position at the end of November last year. And when I got in there, there wasn't any operational plan as such, but the chief director was actually working with operational plans from the past. You know, she was struggling because there was absolutely no institutional memory from which she could follow on. The entire staff had literally walked out of that office. So I decided that I'm going to start putting the whole process together properly. So the document that is in your possession now is still draft. But it's basically what we did was we looked at how are we located in the whole gender scenario, but in government per se, and then we decided that we will start looking at what is the role of the OSW in terms of the location, the presidency, in the presidency where we are located, and then of course the national machinery, and we decided that we'll start presenting to you in that way. Okay, so just a brief bit on the context and the background. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the strategic objectives of the presidency. There are 7 strategic objectives that I would like to just quickly go through so you can then see how we locate what we're doing. The first objective is to strengthen strategic management and leadership capability to achieve greater organizational cohesion. The second one is to improve management access and sharing of information. The third one is to coordinate, monitor, evaluate, and communicate government policies and programs to accelerate integrated service delivery.
to foster nation building and social cohesion, to give effect to the people's contract, to promote an integrated approach to governance for accelerated service delivery, to support, develop, and consolidate initiatives for building a better Africa and a better world, and the last one is to promote accelerated and shared economic growth and development with an emphasis on the second economy and social inclusion. These are the seven objectives of the presidency. And you will know that in the presidency there is a unit called PCAS, or the Policy Coordination and Advisory Services, PCAS. It is made up of basically structured along the lines of the integrated governance system, where you know the clusters in government, and each of these clusters forms part of the PCAS. So over a period of time, it has evolved that the programs, which they now call special programs, is also one of the units within PCAS. So that's the location. So you can see that gender kind of, while it's being located within the presidency, is not located at a highest level, but it's subsumed and then subsumed again. So within PCAS, we have the economic cluster, the governance and administration cluster, international trade, relation and trade, justice, crime prevention and security, the social sector, planning. And then you'll see special programs. Now, special programs is made up of the three, it's three areas. I'll tell you that why the fourth area is missing here. It's made up of gender, disabilities, and children's rights. The youth section is a youth desk in the social sector. But it's in PCAS, but it's in the social sector. So the special programs at this point is made up of these three units. And you'll see that the it's called the Special Programs GDC. And it's at the level of a chief director. And within and below that, the three offices are all run by directors. So you can see that although the policy document is saying that the OSW or the gender issue should be located in the highest level, it is, because it's in the presidency. But within its structure again, it's not at the highest level. The decision-making powers constantly get lessened and lessened. It's something I would like the committee to be aware of, and we can like look at taking discussion on that. For committee members that are not familiar with the policy document, the mandate chiefly of the OSW is that we have a vital role to play as a principal coordinating structure for the national machinery on gender equality. Okay, and over a period of time, it has evolved to mean many things. And hopefully it shall evolve into in the future into a clearer understanding of what each of the role players' roles are. The functions of the OSW are broadly, but they're not limited to what's on the screen, is that we're looking at advancing the national policy on women's empowerment and gender equality. We hope to prioritize key concerns and initiatives in terms of gender mainstreaming. We look at advising and briefing the political principles within the presidency, but also sometimes you find we're called upon to brief political principles in other departments. We want to develop key indicators for measuring national progression towards gender equality. Facilitate awareness raising, confidence building at all levels. To provide a coordination framework for effective implementation of the gender program, and that should be a coordination that will ensure that this takes place at national, provincial, and local government levels. And we, of course, want to consult and liaise with civil society and parliament. You know, if you categorize the broad functions of the office, then you'll find it roughly fits into seven or eight categories. We look at gender mainstreaming issues. We should be looking at capacity building issues, planning and coordination. We must play a role in advocacy, of course, in networking and liaison. We support political principles, and we should be doing monitoring and evaluation. Those are the broad core areas. Now, you'll see the strategy document that we developed. Kind of gives you a comprehensive and in-depth understanding of each of these things that I'm talking about. But in terms of these seven broad functions, this is what guided us in terms of developed the plan for the year. Okay, so basically we looked at the strategy and the operational plan for 2008-09, and we identified the challenges we then looked at what are these challenges, where do they exist, and we found that, you know, we could translate them into both challenges that are external structure or functions, and then there are challenges to the internal workings of the OSW. By that I mean, external means that, you know, what is it that we do with the national gender machinery? But then, of course, in order for us to drive the program through the national gender machinery, we must operate as a unit within the presidency, and there were a number of challenges in terms of actually executing that job. So we looked at a strategy that addresses both. And from that, we derived our key responsibility areas, our strategic actions, our specific programs, activities, our indicators, and who will help us to lead this process. So in terms of the external strategy, we said that we need to closely monitor the implementation of national and regional programs and projects, providing policy and mainstreaming advice, as well as providing the necessary strategic support towards coordination, towards research, towards networking, towards advocacy, and looking at how we're going to strengthen women's empowerment and gender equality in general in the country. In terms of our internal strategy, not to labor the point, but in order to ensure that we are able to operate at the level that we desire, the national office must function in a manner that will support this monitoring and implementation of national and regional projects. We must be able to function so that we can provide the policy and mainstreaming advice, as well as the necessary strategic support. So, you know, if the office is not well run, if you can't get your house in order, you're not going to be able to do it outside. And that was our thinking. Okay, so what we did was we identified the chief strategies. Now, you'll find that in your, I just want to escape from here and show you, in your document that is given to you, this document here, which is the strategy and operational plan, you'll find that we've made it bold on page, just want to take you through. Maybe I should just also show you this very quickly. This is what the current organogram looks like. I'm going to make it bigger so that everybody could see. You. It's too big. Yeah, the diagram is on page, yeah. The diagram here, ma'am, that's on the board there at the moment. I'm raising this point here because I want you to be able to influence the discussions that come out when we do the National Gender Machinery Review as to why we're failing, or what I think we're failing in certain areas, why. You see, we're located below the Chief Director Special Program. And then what we do is we have one director and three deputy directors. One deputy director we've kind of looked at making, focusing on gender mainstreaming. One deputy director focusing on planning and coordination. And one deputy director focusing on monitoring and evaluation. And then we have one administrator and one secretary post that we've interviewed, we've made a submission, we're just waiting for clearance. Okay? If that person takes on the position, then this is how the structure looks. The director is a female. The deputy director gender mainstreaming is a female. The deputy director planning and coordination is a male. Deputy director M&E is Linda. She's here, female. Administrator is female. Secretary hopefully is a male. So we try to give it a balance. But this is the structure for a unit that's going to run the gender program in the country. One director, three deputy directors. So we can take discussion on that as well. In the document itself, you'll see that I wanted to alert you to the strategies that I'm talking about. It's actually on pages.
page 19. Page 19 of your document, you'll see that it's actually the operational plan, okay? And you'll find what I'm going to present now is the, you'll find that it's giving you a comprehensive view of things, but wherever it's in bold, means that those are the ones that are, we think have hardcore deliverables. At the end of March 2009, if the OSW can produce something tangible against that particular key activity, then you know we would have delivered on hardcore issues. And the rest of it, I'll explain to you why we are not considering it as the as important as these here. So the strategy one, we were saying, across the top you'll see it says mainstreaming of gender equality and women's empowerment into the programs of projects of government structures. Also, our thinking of why we did the operational plan in the way we did it is we've only got three deputy directors. How do we drive this? So we divided it into three areas. Gender mainstreaming, monitoring and evaluation, that's the second one, and the third one is planning and coordination. So we have to work out a strategy so to take account of that. Strategy one has got three key responsibility areas, okay? And strategy one is divided into two particular areas. One is gender mainstreaming, and the other part is capacity building. Gender mainstreaming has key responsibility area one and two, which says advance the national policy on women's empowerment and gender equality. And the second KRA, or key responsibility area, is we need to prioritize the key concerns, the initiatives, the research that is relevant in, you know, for gender issues in government structures, etc. Now, in order to drive the strategy, what are the key activities? So the next slide shows you the key activities where we can get hardcore deliverables. And the first one is, we want to, you know, one of the problems or challenges we recognize is we have a policy document. And the policy document has been adopted by Cabinet in 2000. But the challenge that we are receiving from departments as to why they don't implement the policy document is because it's not enforceable. So we'll take that into account as well. Why they consider that not enforceable. But the other thing is that the country doesn't have a strategy document. We don't have a strategy document for mainstreaming. We didn't convert our policy document into implementation guidelines. And that's something that we need to close the gap. So we said we'll develop a country strategy and an implementation plan in support of this policy document. And Mamstori and maybe a few other members will recall in 2005, we put forward a draft plan of action. You know, perhaps we need the committee to start raising questions about what happened to that document. We can reenact and re-liven and re-energize that process again. So that's a hardcore deliverable. The second one is that we're looking at building effective partnerships between civil society, between, you know, key stakeholders in business, in ODAs and so on. We need a policy on that. So we want to develop some sort of a document in that regard. The third one is a very interesting part that's taking place with the OSW is research. We're commissioning a lot of research at the moment that's looking at a number of things, one of which is we commissioned research to do the 15-year review, and that is currently gone through. The background papers are available on the website of government. You can even access that and read that. It was a desktop review. We got into the point where we are trying to synthesize that. The second review that the OSW is currently embarking on, it started on the 5th of May. It's being funded. It's the gender profiling. It's called gender profiling. The ADB, the African Development Bank, is sponsoring 700,000 rands. Yes. This project is actually coming from Norway through the African Development Bank, where they are profiling or doing a gender profile in South Africa. But before my time last year, the NGM took a decision that they would like the NGM reviewed. 700,000. Yeah. It's not a very long research. Yeah, last year the NGM took a decision that, you know, what they want, that money to do, or the terms of reference around it, was to start looking at the national gender machinery, its challenges in the provinces, how it's working, why it's working like that, how it's not working. So that's the terms of reference that they are doing, which is they're also going to help us with our process of reviewing. So it's not exactly a gender profiling. That, I guess, we'll have to relook at later again. The one that we didn't start yet but we're looking at is the gender responsive budgeting and financing for gender equality, coming out of the Commission on the Status of Women's Theme, following from the committee's initiative last year. Was it last year, ma'am? Yeah. On meeting with the CFO. So we want to take forward that process. The next one is very interesting, the harmful traditional practices. This was also emerging from the CSW this year, where, you know, there's a campaign to end female genital mutilation. And this came out very strongly in the South African delegation's briefing meetings, that we should focus on this. And it also just tied in at the same time with the taxi rank incident and the Panza case in KZN. And it just so happened that it coincided with Austria. Now, imagine Austria is wanting South Africa to conduct this research, produce a research paper that we will fine-tune and send to CEDAW committee in the UN to, we kind of want to, they want South Africa to drive the inclusion of this more clearly into the articles of CEDAW. So it's not a large amount of money, it's 5,000 euros, 60,000 rand, but it's just a very short research, it's a research paper. But it'll help us as well to identify some of the issues that perhaps were not taken forward after the CGE did its research, you know, on harmful traditional practices, on witchcraft, etc. And then that is research. Then we're looking at the other key activity we want to run for the year is we want to promote gender-responsive budgeting for CFOs. It's linked in with the gender-responsive budgeting research. We want to follow that up, and we want to do an integrated approach with the JMC and the CGE. And then the last one is something we've already, at a point where we are near completion. The OSW was producing a gender training manual. But at this stage, because of the fact that the OSW was a bit slow, Samdi got a 25 million rand donor funding from Canadian CEDA, and they've produced the manual. They are almost at the point where they're going to roll out. So we linked up very closely with Samdi over the last few months. We are taking our manual that is now at a point where we had it assessed. We're changing it into a resource book to go with the training manual. So it's a collaborative effort between OSW, SAMD, DPSA to drive gender training for gender mainstreaming in the public service. And hopefully it shall be targeting senior managers downwards. It's for all public officials. SAMD will be rolling out this year with 1,500 people. So we're going hand in hand with that. All right. The next strategy under mainstreaming is the capacity building. Now, here it's a very interesting process because our mandates seem to overlap with a lot of government departments. So we decided, okay, if SAMDI is the key academy for government, they got the training for gender mainstreaming lying there, what is it that the OSW must do in terms of capacity building? And so we said that we need to capacitate the government department gender focal points, but we also need to capacitate members of the national gender machinery. And SANDI, South African Management Development Institute. Yeah. They're the training arm of government. In terms of the capacity building, our focus this year is we're going to we've got SANDI, part of the CEDA funding. There's no cost involved here. They have offered to give us a 1 week piloting of that training process for the entire members of the NGM. That means that members of this committee, members of CGE, and so on will be trained. So that will be in September. They are running the cost. So in terms of this committee, we can talk about accommodation needs and so on. But in terms of government departments, they'll pay their own accommodation. But the training is paid for. So we're piloting it. We are running our NGM members through this. So that is our capacity building program. And it falls right within this KRA 3. Okay, so I've spoken about the activities. Okay, strategy two, which is on page, bottom of page 20. Yeah. Okay, this one here is the National Planning, Coordination and Advocacy to Facilitate Mainstreaming of Gender Equality and Women's Empowerment. One of the jobs that takes away so much of the time of the OSW, if I'm actually focusing on content, is the amount of planning we have to do, the amount of coordination that we have to do. So the first CRA is to provide a coordination framework and planning processes for the effective implementation of this gender program. And, you know, this is where we look at the following key activities, which is the next page, ma'am. We consult with the NGM in the development of the National Plan of Action. Excuse me. We also then look at the amount of planning and coordination for NGM meetings. And we used to have NGM meetings every 2 months. We need to drive that process again. We also provide a secretariat support to the NGM. That's also taking up a lot of our time. We then, of course, have to compile regular reports to facilitate the work of the NGM, and then we must coordinate the programs of the NGM. Then we also look at coordinating meetings between gender focal points from national government departments, and then we look at coordinating meetings between provincial OSW coordinators. And then we've got this other task of coordinating the meetings, two meetings actually in a year, for the Presidential Working Group on Women. One should come up around June, and the other one is in August, I think August 22nd, but we'll send the dates to you. And, you know, that is a huge process because this involves women from many of them are outside the gender machinery. I think with the exception of Mom's Story and perhaps the chairperson of the CGE, there are very few people from the NGM on this presidential working group. This group here advises the president on issues, and, you know, the success last year was they launched the old mutual fund for domestic workers, yeah. All right, then the next part of the strategy is advocacy, and you know, this is a huge function of the OSW. This raises a point that we need to discuss. Does this office have a strategic function, or does this office end up looking like it's an event organizer? And it comes from some of the jobs that we do. Okay, we need to look at consulting and liaising with government around advocacy issues and including awareness raising. So you'll find CRA 5 and 6 covers both. Okay, now the key activities are very challenging on the next page, ma'am. The key activities are very challenging for us. We need to look at 16 days of activism. Now, we've got a mandate or a brief to make sure that the OSW is taking a lead path again in the 16 days. You know, it used to be with the presidency, it moved to Justice, Correctional Services, DPLG. Now the talk is that the campaign is losing or waning in its powerfulness, so we need to put the face of the deputy president to drive it. So it's becoming a huge challenge for us at the moment. But I guess it'll still be located where it is. Then the Women's Month, you know, it's gone into the hands of arts and culture. For us, it's a massive event. But the whole month should have strategic events. So we need to look at that. We're driving that. The 365 days of action has got a different secretariat from the 16 days. The brief for us is bring the two together. Bring 16 days and 365 days together. It makes sense. 365 days is a whole year program. It's programmatic. It's measures that government departments must put in place, civil society must put in place. But the 16 days is, you know, it's that 16 days. It's the advocacy part of the plan of action. So that brief that we got, that we're working with DPLG and NPA to bring a collaborative effort there. And you know that the deputy president drives that one as well. Not drives it, but he's the face of it. Then we've got a very nice one coming up next year, which we need to start planning for. March 8, 2009, is 100 years of the International Women's Day. So we were looking at what can South Africa do to commemorate this day. And the CSW delegation at that stage said that we need to look at it from the NGM. What is it that we do? The thematic area for next year is the unpaid care work of women. So we said that we should perhaps use this March 8th, you know, it all coincides at the same time with the CSW. We said that at the country level, we should do a program that looks at the unpaid care economy. Yeah. So we'll discuss that at the next NGM. And then I've got a key activity here. It's an advocacy issue. It's called Women's Health. I've met with the Cancer Association, and they are very keen to work with the National Gender Machinery to drive the issues of women's health. They've got programs called Women's Health, Men's Health, and there was another program, but they're very keen on driving these two through the NGM, and that's very interesting because it looks at cervical cancer, it looks at breast cancer, related to HIV/AIDS. So they actually got programs that cover from August to October because there's Breast Cancer Month, there's Cervical Cancer Month, and so on. So I said to them, yes. So I said to them that we will bring them on board in terms of the NGM. They must raise it for discussion at the NGM. Madam Chair, the next one is absolutely critical, the SADC protocol. The SADC protocol is something we need to drive as a country. We're literally at the stage where I think one or two of the four countries that are looking dangerous will probably sign as well. We might have challenges with perhaps Mozambique and so on, but what is it as South Africa that we should be doing to ensure that the protocol is signed in August? It's signed in South Africa because we're chairing SADC in August. So the one on the gender, you must know, Madam Chair, the JMC, the CGE, and the OSW will, I guess, end up co-chairing there. So that's a huge campaign for us. Then, of course, you know, the next one is the Ghana High Level Forum on financing for gender equality. And what is it that we do so that we influence National Treasury? National Treasury is piloting the Paris Declaration in the country. But the Paris Declaration is gender blind. And I think from my interactions since February with Treasury, they're not too clear on how to get the gender aspect in it. So, which is why Imelda is working so closely with us. We're both trying to influence Treasury in that regard. But I think that if the NGM starts to drive this process, we will get National Treasury on board in a better way. But it's the Ghana meeting is in September, and there again, we should like to have a delegation going that is made up of the key stakeholders. Because you'll see from our budget that if we don't take part now, we'll lose the race. Then, of course, the gender budget.
I would like to instruct the members, you don't aim at taking the chairperson on this one. You must make room for several members.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I was going through you to say a member should raise the issue. Okay, then the gender budget initiative as well is something that we need to drive this year. But emerging from the Commission on Status of Women program that we went through in the beginning of the year in March, and a number of issues that emerged within the delegation there was, of course, a need to have more debate in the country. So one of the recommendations of that delegation was that the OSW should put in place a number of roundtable discussions. So we will come up with a schedule at the next NGM. They will cover various issues, starting from issues that were raised this year to issues that will be raised next year at the CSW. And then the other key activity in this area is our development towards enabling people to participate in the CSW 2009 in a high level. One of the challenges we had this year was that all delegates were not able to engage with issues at the level at which they should. So we wanted to start this preparation much earlier, like September this year. So it gives people a chance to look at what is that's the key activities. The strategy three, which is another, is given to another deputy director on M&E, is monitoring and evaluation of delivery on national, regional, and international mandates. And, you know, here we also got critical challenges. The office is inundated with its reporting obligations. And in order to report, we have to constantly go back to government departments for the latest and most recent information. And, you know, it's sometimes very difficult, it's very challenging to get government departments to produce these kinds of inputs to meet our time frames. Because the UN sends it, and the process is so long that the UN sends it to the mission in New York, the mission sends it to wherever, it finally reaches Foreign Affairs, it sits on somebody's desk, it reaches us like 2 days before the report is due. We are currently at a situation like that now. And by the time you get departments to act and they need the DGs to sign out this, it's just not working. So one of the key deliverables for this year is to develop a monitoring and evaluation framework. And, you know, we need to say at the same time, how is it that we can assist each other in producing this kind of reports on time? The next key area is we want to look at in terms of processes and management systems. And the third KRA is you want to look at ensuring that there is compliance to national and international commitments. And the activities we've identified for this year is we want to develop a monitoring and evaluation framework that will help government departments, local government, to do a back and forth, you know, accountability process. And of course, to help with the process, we need to have a reporting format, you know. Is there going to be a system in place? Is it going to be quarterly reports and so on and so on? We want to then also, a very important one, is plan and manage a high-level NGM review. And this process is something that we hope to take discussion. Of course, at the end of the year, in December, we should be doing a gender analysis of the program of action that's coming in place for next year. We also then do compile reports. And you know that last week we presented to this committee the CEDAW report. It's 10 years late, but we're meeting the deadline of June 30th. The next one is, you know, in 2010, it will be Beijing plus 15. And, of course, the country will have to report. If we leave it for 2010, then we'll be back at square one. So we want to initiate in March next year the reporting process. So if you can develop a report over a year, it gives people enough time to consult on the report. So it will be ready for 2010. The AU, we report every year in July. SADC, I have a question mark with SADC, because SADC, you know, the Gender and Development Declaration is changing into a protocol. So the reporting processes are not too clear there yet. Commonwealth is an ongoing process. And the UN is ongoing throughout the year ad hoc. It comes anytime. Sitting on our desk at the moment is the report on the implementation by the country on the Secretary General's resolution on trafficking of women, and the next report is on violence against women. And that is something that's due at the end of May. The next strategy is networking and liaison. And this is one of you know, the key functions of the OSW, is that it liaises between national and international stakeholders. And the key activities, you know, that we want to relate to that for now, other than the normal functions that we have, is that, and it's coming also from the committee's comments last Friday, that we're not known very well. Or if we're known, we're not known nicely. You know, there's not always positive thoughts related to the OSW. So we said as an office, we perhaps need to target a marketing strategy for ourselves, you know, so that we start looking at, you know, the kind of image we project out there and how much we are able to brand ourselves. How we brand ourselves is going to depend on how we drive this program in the future. Okay. And then the other interesting thing that we are aware of so far, but there will be more that comes through the year, are the, you know, the bilaterals. China has got a situation with South Africa. I think the relations this year, it's 10 years. And China is inviting I think the president to China in October. So in order to celebrate the China-South Africa 10-year relations, gender was one of the items on the agenda. And I think the CGE was involved with that. So at the next NGM, we will ask the CGE to present on the proposals it made to the ambassadors on how we see our participation in this process. We at the moment also in a bilateral relations with Senegal, and there is an agreement that's on the table. We are currently going through the agreement, and I think it will be signed in June, when perhaps the deputy president goes to Senegal. If not, then it will be the minister in the presidency, who is responsible for women's issues, who will go to Senegal and sign that. We'll run that one as well through the NGM, next NGM. And then our support to political principles, you know, we advise and brief the minister as and when necessary, and it's ongoing. Our strategic management in terms internally, I'm just going to run through very fast. To ensure that the office functions properly, we've also got some TRAs here. We've got logistical support issues. You know, we've got issues that human resource issues, etc., that needs to keep the office going. And those are ongoing activities. You know, at this stage, I would like to remind us ourselves of our commitments in the Constitution, Section 9, where we say everyone is equal before the law and has the right to equal protection and benefit of the law, and what our Constitution is talking about in terms of equality. The reason that we put this up here is we want to get some sort of direction from this committee today on what should be our way forward in the current crisis regarding children and women as an NGM. Making public statements is just not all. We need to look at what is it we do now. We talk a lot about women and peace. What is it we do in the country? To run this whole program, members of the committee, to run this whole program, we in November last year did an estimated budget, and we asked for something like 3.5 million. Keeping in mind that arts and culture generally runs the August 9th event, the presidency gave us an amount of money as a whole to the GDC chief director. She had to split that money between the three programs and her own office, and the split is as follows. She took R1 billion to run her office. I think she's got some programs that are going through there, one of which is the gender program in municipalities, local government. She wants to drive that. But the rest of the money was split equally between all three programs. The challenge is that the ORC alone, the Office on the Rights of Children, asked for 5.4 million. The Office on the Persons with Disability asked a similar amount to us, 3.5 million. And what we ended up getting, you'll see, is 2,300,000. Now we take 2,300,000 and we are kind of going to run this whole program. So the challenge for us is, how do we make this work? And we tried to work within that given budget, and you'll see in our document that we've estimated amounts, starting on page 19, that for gender mainstreaming, just to go through one or two, okay? For gender mainstreaming, KRA 1, on page 19, ma'am, in this particular document. On page 19, just as an example now, just to drive our key responsibility area 1, we quoted a figure of 200,000. Just to drive KRA 2, we said 50,000. Now, we all know that is totally insufficient amount. You know, if you flip over and you see page 20, you see capacity building KRA 3. All I could do was give it 100,000 in the event that there's other issues in capacity building. But I'm pushing the South African Management Development Institute, SAMDI, to totally run that 1-week program for us free. You know, they must bear the costs under their sponsorship. And that would help us. Planning and coordination, we're saying 135,000, but we all know that when you book one hotel for one NGM, it takes up a huge chunk of the budget. And we don't intend to have one. We want to have one every 2 months. We've got advocacy issues, and we only put 600,000. And then we get Arts and Culture that comes to us in August and says, OSW must contribute $1 million. And we cannot do that. We cannot do that. I put 600,000, meaning that it must be split for 16 days, for SADC protocol, for CSW roundtables, for this Women's Month, etc., etc., etc. Our report, our CEDAW report, took up a huge chunk of money already. Now, that's just one report. But we want to do strategic work. We want to do the framework for M&E. We want to do the policy document for the mainstreaming implementation plan. And those all take money. You know, the consultations, flying down or flying people up, and then also printing and layout. It's just expensive. So clearly, these are some of the issues the committee will need to discuss and challenge and debate. And always keep in mind that it should be located within this year's thematic area of financing for gender equality. And at a global level, the international community has said that there is totally insufficient funding financially for driving the gender programs, whether it's in the U.S. or wherever, but it's across. There is an absolutely insufficient human resources in driving this program. So financing for gender equality is critical if we're going to drive our programs in the country. And it goes on, and you will see the amounts get less and less and less as it goes on. Madam Chair, with that, let's stop there at the OSW. And, oh, there's just one more thing, Madam Chair, with your apologies there. I just want to mention that if you notice, the entire approach we took is not programmatic. In other words, there are key core priorities in the country like poverty eradication, elimination of violence against women, the role of men and boys, women's health issues, rural women's issues, the girls' health issues. We didn't structure a program along the topic areas. The thinking is that as the OSW itself, we're not implementers, but we should be driving the program. So the idea is that when we discuss how the NGM unfolds, we should have task teams within the NGMs. One task team that should continue to work on the role of boys and men. The other task team should focus on any one of the priority areas so that the NGM is seen as being programmatic. With that, I'd like to stop.
I can just say, Chairperson, Frenchy, thank you. That is not how we are perceived by the people outside.
Yeah.
I think we should also consider that. Thank you very much for this strategy plan. I just want to ask one question. Was the MC part of this?
Which one, ma'am?
The strategy plan. A workshop at some stage.
No, we didn't workshop this, no.
Not yet,
no. It's going to come up at the next NGM. Well, we were just developing it in the office.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the first to see it, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe the what was the workshop that Semple attended? Was it by you or?
No.
Was it in Devon?
Which one is it?
I think that's
it. Yes, it is. Okay. So I'm mixing the two. That's the reason. Thank you. Let me give the members a chance to ask questions. Member Masirumule?
And then after this, member. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm late.
You've been powered.
I just want to. Thanks for the presentation. I just want to create a scenario, a practical one. I'm compelled to create this scenario because Chair, in my entire life, I have never seen women who are as organized as South African women. Highly organized. I don't know in English how should I put this because it's my second language anyway. Bomme ba ipopile ka di-group tsa di-blade tsa di-kong tsa and you find them everywhere you go. Everywhere, every single corner in this country. And there is no reason why, not at all, not for me, for somebody else. There's no reason why we should fail to deliver. Because women are so highly organized outside. You see, I really don't know. You see, I've been around for so long, Comrade Chair, as you yourself as an activist, you would understand. We've been around for so long, we've been to school, we've been to distant learning, we've been to conferences, symposiums, workshops, through and through. And in every workshop, every symposium, every conference you go to, it's just theory. And even now, as we gather here, we are theorizing. We are just theorizing. And I can't imagine the ANC as a... What is it that we are still going to do with boardroom meetings again? Because we've got plans, we've got... I don't know, from 1912, how many plans did we make? How many programs? And why are we continuing to theorize again? How long? ANC today, as I'm speaking, is 96 years old, theorizing. And how long? To go to a boardroom is fine. Just to assess, re-energize, synthesize each other, update each other, inform, report, it's fine. But you can't continue to rely on boardroom discussions through and through. When are we going to go down and implement these programs? Because women are there. I will tell you something very strange. I didn't know what UNISA, with this capacity of expertise, why did they fail to make an in-depth research? There is a program. A group of women has embarked on gardening. And I need to understand that soil is about 200 years producing sweet potato, carrot. But you need to embark upon this program to go and research on this. They came up with nothing. You know why? But women are able to produce a sweet potato as big as this. Ordinary women who can read and write. But UNISA came out with nothing. They came with a very big document, 48 pages, only theory. But women continue to produce in that soil, and that soil we are made to understand is 200 years old producing those things. But UNISA says nothing. With that capacity of expertise, now, you know why they are saying nothing and they spend taxpayers' money for nothing? It's because they didn't consult. They didn't. They didn't consult these women. They didn't sit down with these women, ask questions, find out from them. I took my double cap and went to that project. I came back, my double cap was full of sweet potato. But UNISA went down to research, they came out with nothing, 48-page document with nothing, absolutely forgotten. Now, I don't know really what is it that we gather every time we spend money, we discuss amongst ourselves, against each other, through each other. What is it that we're doing? People are out there, well organized. For instance, if you want to deal with AIDS issues, you go out there in the rural areas, you find small boys organize themselves in small groups, they play soccer. in small groups. Every corner you find small boys, small girls playing things in small groups. You have people in South Africa who are so highly organized. There are short of few people who sit in those offices, colorful. You walk on top of red carpet every day, every single hour. What is it that we are doing? For 14 years, we are still here theorizing. When are we implementing? I'm sorry, Chair, I'm a bit annoyed. Really, I mean, for me, it's too much.
Maybe I'm annoyed from the other committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ma.
Ngiyabonga, Sihlalo. Uzongixolela kancane, Sihlalo. Please forgive me for what I'm going to say. Let me start by saying, in the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read about Goliath and David. Now, we read about the army of the Israelites facing the army of the Philistines. On this side, there was a valley inside. On this side, they were standing in a row, ready to fight. And on the other side, the Israelites were shivering, but also standing in the row. For 40 days, they couldn't fight, because there was this giant called Goliath that came out every morning and shouted at them and said, "Give me a man that will come out and fight me." Now, as I'm looking to all these documents, it resembles that. We are this giant organization with all the armors, all the expertise of war. The tools that we need, but who cannot go out and fight. We're standing somewhere shouting that we are gender mainstreaming. Sorry, Chairperson, I'm going to say this. I'm a little bit worried. I've perused through all these documents, last year's documents, that other year's documents. There is nowhere where we speak about this woman Umas Rumula is talking about. We're only targeting senior management, we're targeting business women, we're targeting what, we're targeting meetings, we're targeting protocols, we're targeting this and that. But out there, where I come from, in the deep rural areas, there are women who are sitting there waiting for us, asking good country, where is this OSW? Where are these women? What are they doing for us? Masrumula has already said that they are organized. They've got stock cells. They've got whatever. We're talking about building capacity. You know, well, sometimes I ask myself, how long are we going to build this capacity amongst ourselves when there are people out there waiting for us to deliver? How long? You know, if I remember last year, we were looking at public works, expanded public works programs. We're looking at the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. We're looking at gender violence. But really, it seems that all these things are in the boardrooms. 2 weeks back, I've been burying a woman. We've been burying a woman who's killed by the husband. And on that very same week, Mrs. Sivase was showing us a family that has been killed by the father. Now, really, I'm sometimes worried in my mind. I'm asking myself, what is it that we're doing? Yes, I understand that we are talking about working together with the national government, the provincial governments, and so on. But really, to be honest, you people are not visible. That I want to put categorically clear, you are not visible. Even the provincial OSWs are not visible. We only become visible in August 9. You say you initiate and promote capacity development and training programs in support of gender sensitive, gender analysis and mainstreaming of gender at all levels, but you say levels of government. I don't know. Umas Rumula has already talked about this boardroom things. It seems as if we are just working for ourselves in these boardrooms, in these government offices. But really, out there, there's somebody crying out loudly to say, I'm hungry, I'm dying, I am sick, I don't have a home, I don't have water, I don't have clothes. Nobody seems to care. I sometimes wonder whether when we talk about the mandate that of gender equality and women's empowerment, which women are we talking about? Which women are we talking about? Even those that are trying to empower themselves, we are neglecting them. You know, we're talking about the budgets here. If I remember well, when David came to that camp, Saul gave him his armor. He didn't use that. He used his sheep stick and his little bag and 5 stones and went and faced the giant. But we seem not to be able to go out and face this giant that is finishing up our people at home. We are sitting here. We are eating. We have been eating now on behalf of our people. We've been drinking tea. There's cold drink somewhere. Eating on behalf of the hungry.
Okay. All right. Why man to decide to recollect? Yes, I'm going to allow. I'm going to allow other members to contribute to this. But I just want to go over what came out of the Joint Monitoring Committee, Randy, what we will be looking for in budget 2008. We had a workshop last time. If the House can allow me. It said in our comments on the appropriation vote last year, which was 2007, we focused in particular on the role of governments expanded public works program in addressing poverty and HIV-related care, and the role of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development in dealing with gender-based violence in and with maintenance. So as this committee, we will continue to monitor this allocation and the related performances, which was 2008. And in respect of expanded public works program, the members have got this copy, all of them. In addition to looking what is planned for home-based care, we will this year also pay particular attention to what is planned in respect of early child development. I can see you have picked up some of the things here in terms of education, but we haven't specified. This area should be receiving increased allocation and more focused attention now that the Children's Act has been passed. That's what we think as this committee. It is a particularly important area for women who bear the overwhelming burden of caring for young children. In respect of EPWP, as a whole, we also hope to see clearer and less contradictory statements on the women and youth quotas and the extent to which these have been achieved, as well as less contradictory information on the total numbers employed in terms of the quotas. It is generally agreed that women tend to be poorer than men, and it is thus important that this initiative targets women to a greater extent than women, than men rather. In addition to our previous 14, in late 2013, the committee agreed that we also need to focus on allocation and performance by the Department of Safety and Security in respect of crime. That's why I wanted to read this, so that you know also what the committee was looking at. And particular gender-based violence. We also decided that the area of health, I see have touched some of the things on reproductive health, including but not restricted to HIV. Some people think that when we talk about health, we only talk, there's such a lot of things that, because it's women who bear children, in fact. And how we manage to grow these children is very important to us, and would receive more attention from the committee. We will therefore be looking at all the votes related to these areas when the budget is tabled in February 2008. In our comments on vote one last year, 2007, we noted with dismay that it was no longer possible to distinguish the allocation of the Office of the Status of Women. This had been possible to previous year. In mid-2000, we learned through posing questions that, in fact, the allocation for the Office of the Status of Women had decreased compared to that for the previous year. This is another area that we will be looking at keenly when the 2008-09 budget is tabled. Now, I suppose, listening to what the committee, what came out of the committee, this is a summary of what they were saying. I think here you have been dealing with the issues of fast-tracking the implementation of government programs. Because of the president's statement, which said we should also focus on APEC priorities. I can see some of the things, most of them that came up. What we have, our researchers are saying to us, the focus of the president over the medium term will be facilitate an integrated approach to governance and accountability across government in order to speed up service delivery. Moreover, the presidency will concentrate on the fast-tracking of key APEC as spelled out in the 2008 State of the Nation Address. Bullet, we've got few bullets here that I want to read out. The further accelerated of South Africa's economic growth and development. Speeding up the process of building the infrastructure in order to achieve economic and social goals. Improving the effectiveness of intervention direct at the second economy. This is what they are talking about. Second economy, poverty eradication. That's why the comrades, actually the members are very emotional. Because you see what they are talking about now has led to what is happening now in Johannesburg and all over. Enhancing the impact of programs targeting the critically important area of education and training. Now, I wanted to say amongst these things, that's why I'm reading them bullet to bullet. We're talking about this capacitation. I don't see anywhere where we're talking about the civil society. That is part of the day, the national gender machinery. Yes, we've missed that. Enhancing the impact of programs targeting the critically important area of education and training. Now, I wanted to ask from you as the leader of the OSW, what plans have you got for the provincial OSWs from what the strategy plan that you have now? What are they going to be doing? Which is implementation, because I think somewhere we from the policy priorities for 2008 and 2009, it says the fast tracking of the implementation of government program with particular emphasis on the 24 APEX, which means it's the responsibility of the Office of the State of Business. You see? Now we want to know what is going to be done in those areas, especially the provincial, because that's where we think we are lacking. You see, that is why we are going to have these beautiful talks in our boardrooms, but nothing is done. The further strengthening the machinery of government to ensure the necessary capacity. This is good. That's what you have been doing. Enhancing the focus on the system of international relations. That's what we are talking about, the SADC protocol and all the other things. But I still think we haven't dealt with the issue of gender mainstreaming properly. That's my concern. And I just wanted us to have a clear understanding of what our expectations as this committee is. That's why I wanted to know whether we were part of this. The other thing is that, yes, it's good we can have this capacitation of everyone in the national gender machinery. But my understanding is that we are a monitoring committee in Parliament. You see? And I don't know, we are part of that. You see, the minister said to us one time here, as this committee, we seem to be too much lenient in that national gender missionary. We forget our responsibility. We are a monitoring committee in Parliament. I don't think, yes, it would be good for us to be empowered. But who's responsible for empowering Parliament?
Parliament itself.
It's Parliament itself. That's the thing.
And the department.
We appreciate that you thought of us. But we should be monitoring whether this capacitation is done properly the way we want it to be done. I think that's what that's our responsibility. I'll come in some you know, elsewhere. I'll allow the members to say so. I just wanted us really to link up. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there anyone coming in from this side?
Chair, I would want to ask the presenters whether Is it really asking too much from you people? Is it really demanding too much if in this financial year, can we really just choose a province, one rural province, and just embark on a pilot project as an example and see whether, just to be specific on something, rather than to continuously listen to these reports which are just generalizing, generalization of life without being specific on one thing. Just to see as to whether we are focused. You remember the last time we met, I gave you this example of what is happening in this far remote area. Where, because you see, in South Africa we are being lulled by, you see, we are being delusioned. But by what we see in major centers, major city centers, this glamorous life, this things which are shining, which are being fashioned on a daily basis. We think life is like that in this country. There's this, the other life which most of us are not exposed to. Where young girls are running out of options. They don't see anything else just to make babies in order to survive. Go out there, you'll see. If you move outside this city, if you move outside Joburg, outside Pietermaritzburg, out of this big cities, and go and look beyond that life, you will see wonders. You'll be surprised as to really you don't know this country. You know very little about this country. You know very little space where you exist only. The bigger picture out there is so deeply disturbing when you see it. If because many times when there is a crisis, especially a crisis of water, many times these things affect women and children. Many a time. If people don't have water to wash themselves, what about water to cook? If there's anything to cook at all. And here we are, we every financial year, one after the other, we recommend budgets, we vote for this budget. When you go down there, there is nothing. Every financial year. So the beat goes on and on. There's absolutely nothing on the ground. Sometimes you feel ashamed as to what is it that I'm going to do in that parliament? Because we keep on reporting these things. No follow-up. I've seen Telkom when I was still with communication, and I stopped this car and I was just walking and just observing and watching. You know what they do? During that era when they were saying they call it what? Outsourcing, something like that. When they were thinking it was an ideal thing to deliver telephones house to house, it's not going to work. Because they were not consulting anybody.
The rollout.
We were together in communication, yeah, the rollout. Mm. How do you install telephones house to house in the rural areas? To people who don't have water, what is your thinking? The priority is water, it's not a telephone. And what they do, they drive along the tar road only. They don't go into deeper rural areas where majority of the residents are located. They only drive along the tar road. When the tar road ends, they come back, they write reports. And this is exactly what officials are doing. They only go to places which have got tar roads. And they end up there, they come back, they write these nice reports, and they bring this report to us, and here they are. And we are going to vote on this budget, and it's a lie. It's not true. It's a lie. I sometimes wonder, but Manduli, people who are religiously informed, if we spoil this country, we run it down the way we behave. Did God give us a spare country somewhere where we can run to? Is it there? Because you see, the whole continent, I was lucky, I lived in exile for some years. The whole continent, 53 states, all of them rely on South Africa. Almost in everything. And if we fail here, the whole continent is finished. This amen is finished and love. Forget it. If we fail, this country, if it fails, well, at least there are those people who have got 6 passports. You can go to Canada, you can go to somewhere else. You can go to Australia, New Zealand. You are lucky if we have those. But those of us who have got our pros to die here, to be buried here, where will I go to? I once ran away from a passage. I'm back. And if I'm going to run away, where am I going to run away to? Again. If we fail this one, there is no spare country that God has given us. No, nothing. Except this one. And the manner in which we behave, really, we're just about to be like Congo, to be like any other African country in spite of the economy, which is doing up so far a little bit well. How many universities do we have? How many tertiary? How many high schools? How many resources do we command as a country? But what are we doing? I think all our in these years, if this was a dream, it was a dream coming true. When he said, I remember in 1982 I was still in Kashito, Eastern Angola, when he said, the only ideal freedom in South Africa, the only ideal freedom, if it's achievable, is when women and children are liberated. Only women and children. That was in 1982. The only ideal freedom which is achievable is when women and children are free. That is the South African context of interpreting what freedom is. Not an American one, what we see in the media, what you see in the electronic media, in films. That's not our way of interpreting freedom. Our freedom is a collective one. When women and children are free, it means we have a future. Can we sometimes just get focused, just choose one rural province and concentrate on it and make one example out of it, empower women and children, young people, and see where we can go from there. At least just to be specific. We've been generalizing for so long. We've been theorizing too much.
Before I can allow you, because I want to run out for a while, just for 2 seconds, I'm going to allow Randy to respond, and then I'm coming back. Mantu, can you hold the fort?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know where to start anymore, because I understand the emotional aspect of this. We in the office go through it as well. In the present crisis, I think the present crisis as if it hasn't, then something is wrong. But if this present 2 weeks hasn't asked any South African to introspect, then something is wrong. And like you, I too feel the pangs of what is happening. And like you too, I would like to also cry about poverty of women, about the fact that we also don't have a spare country to run to. This is my country, you know. So what is happening in the last few days is, of course, bringing forward everything else that is related to it and making it seem that much harder. I agree with the committee's sincere feelings about constantly talking in boardrooms and the implementation at the grassroots level. But this is what perhaps hasn't come forward clearly, and maybe I'm going to try and do that here again, but I think the way the national gender machinery is envisaged to work in the future is what might be one of the ways or the mechanisms to actually do what members are raising. You know, at this point in time, I just want to, and I know I can be highly criticized for this by the committee, but the front runner in all of the things that are happening at the moment, that's taking the brunt of what is happening.
Don't personalize.
No, I won't. The front runner of the person who is taking the brunt of what is happening in the last few days is it has been the president. But we need to ask ourselves, as foot soldiers on the ground, how do we take responsibility as well? And that's I think the underlying process in my strategic presentation today is that the OSW must take the role to drive the process, but it must be driving it through structures that are best placed to take forward the issues. For instance, I do believe that the OSW is not seen, it's not visible, and it needs to be seen doing this. For instance, you know, in driving programs at the grassroots level, there are things like cooperatives, there are things like self-help groups. That these are grassroots programs that need to be initiated and run. Now, there are government departments that can drive these processes. So that was my strategic thinking, that if we get the NGM with a task team to have an overall strategic approach, the implementation should be done then levels lower, so that you have the whole process running down. You know, it's very difficult at this stage for us to take on and say with any assurance that the three deputy directors and the director of the OSW can be able to reach everybody. But just to add to your suggestion of the one province, what we've tried to do in the last few months is the deputy president runs a number of these projects, women-run projects, women-based projects in various provinces. We've been working with her office, and I think one of the province on these projects, and one of the provinces that is clearly, has got a number of projects is Limpopo. There are a number of such projects. Perhaps we're not visible enough in the way we're running. Perhaps we're not taking it on in a big way like we should. We will look at that. It's so difficult if the way the structure was envisioned in 1994, but right up to 1997, it's that the gender machinery was supposed to work from one level to another level to another level until it got to the point where at the grassroots level it is operationalized, you know? And that's what we're hoping that we can try to resurrect, to bring back, to say, you know, at a national level you're putting these plans in place. How do they translate further down into actual operations? We've got CDWs, we've got a huge CDW program, we've got gender focal points, we've got provincial OSWs. The program is genuinely not translating. I share your sentiments in this regard. I take note of the comment made last week about foot soldiers. And in this respect, we've got into a situation with the Baha'i group. Now, it's also a religious group. We want them to present what they're proposing at the next NGM. But they we've approached them about the concept of being the actual foot soldiers at the grassroots, to work with them. And this is something that we want to present to the national machinery, that we want to actually go into the areas and do footwork, you know. So, yes, we understand that. I take note of all the critical areas that the committee raised last year in the budget, and some of it we've managed to raise that we will be focusing on, but there are some areas that we perhaps need to close the gap on. We'll be and take a further discussion. I just wanted to talk about one thing, in terms of the committee. There was a question about the capacity building. And you know, gender mainstreaming, the reason why we thought the way we did about gender mainstreaming, at this point, the only criticism official document that is out on the way we're doing gender mainstreaming in the country is the Public Service Commission report released in 2006, where they critiqued the gender mainstreaming in government departments, in government. And one of their comments in that report, audit report, is that there is clearly a lack of understanding on what is gender mainstreaming and how to do gender mainstreaming. Now, can you imagine us trying to tackle civil society before we can rectify the problem with government officials, because they are the ones that are actually driving the programs? Now, if they don't understand what is meant by gender mainstreaming, how to do gender mainstreaming, then their implementation, them using the budget wisely to drive these programs for women and children, are not going to work. So that has been a criticism, and in reaction to that, the driving of the training manual is that the training manual is geared at ensuring that these officials understand what is meant by gender mainstreaming. It's not people dealing with gender issues in a department, it's anybody, any official, including the director general, on what is gender mainstreaming, what is expected to be done, so that then they could see where they're lacking, because at this point in time, lots of departments are doing lots of good work as well. But to actually take it down to the point where the effect is felt in the most rural area is the problem. And this is some of the things that we're hoping that these programs would close. Now, because somebody's got funding for that process, we said that our role as the national, as the OSW, will be not to let such an opportunity slip by the other members of the machinery that are not government officials, like civil society, like the CGE, and women's NGOs and so on. We said if they could provide a similar kind of a 1 week training for the national machinery, the intent was that even though the committee's task is monitoring, if you are not absolutely clear and have the same understanding of mainstreaming as the government official, then monitoring becomes difficult for you as well. That was the whole idea, was that we all have a similar understanding, we all share the similar training, so that people are capacitated to do their roles better. That was all by including you, but we'll take further direction on that.
Can you also, through you, Chair, can you also include in your comments CDWs, because majority are women.
Oh, in the
but they're nowhere to be found, but they were trained.
Yes, so we have spoken to Sandy about who will be included in that. The plans for the provincial OSWs in terms of implementation, at this point in time, we haven't had a very close, we haven't had many opportunities to work with provincial OSWs to address some of the challenges because of the CEDAW reporting process. But that's on the table to do a closer interaction between provincial OSWs in terms of a joint strategy. We've got our strategy. They are also all busy developing strategies and operational plans that we will, in the next few weeks, hope to bring together. So hopefully we will be able to get provincial OSWs as well to think along certain lines. They also have their own challenges, that can be raised at this point here, but perhaps in the future. Your question, sir, on is it demanding too much if in this financial year we choose one rural province? I'm not sure how that would be unpacked, and I'm not sure how that would be taken, but how do we explain which province is and why? How do we explain this issue to provincial OSWs? But if we can identify a province through the NGM, a project in that province, and then we target funding for driving the project, I don't see why not. I think it's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Maybe just to respond on that, I think this committee has gone through something for me, and the responsibility of
Parliament and this committee to do their oversight work. And the report of our visits to province is tabled in Parliament. And we expect that the minister, that's where the gap is, the minister should, communicate with this committee, and tell us what are they going to be. That is why you get such questions. Because the executive doesn't do what is supposed to be done. They listen to the reports we table in Parliament, and nothing is done after that. Because you should be knowing by now that we have such places. Yes. Because we always table our reports. And then, I'm still going to go to this. I'm going to allow you, Master. This thing of training and capacity building. I said we are very grateful that we can be trained. And you see, our lines should be drawn between some of these areas, the officials and us. It should be clear. Because in our monitoring, if anyone has to come and train us, the parliament will do so. And that person will be training us on capacity building of monitoring what has been taught to the officials. Yes. That's what we need, and it can be done by Parliament. And we are supposed to choose anyone who's going to come and do that. We will do so. But I think that's the responsibility of this committee. Yes. And about this presidential committee. Because now, if we agree to any budget that is going to be put in Parliament in front of us, and we say we debate this, we must be talking about a gender responsive budgeting. Right now, you told us about the 3.5 million that you spoke about, and you think you have been allocated 2.3. And when the children and us were aiming at a higher budget, which is not enough. That it isn't gender responsive. Now, if it has to be gender responsive, I think our responsibility is to this committee to identify these gaps that we think are not addressed here. It's not that we are criticizing always, to identify that what are we agreeing on? Are the things that we are concerned about, the people that we speak to as members of parliament, are these issues addressed? And I think that is how this national gender machinery is looked at. I was saying, the other thing I'm worried about, we are talking as the parliamentary committee here, together with the Office of the Status of Women, who is in the president's office. And we are talking about projects that are headed by the deputy president that we don't even know of. That's the thing. We don't even know of, we don't know the good things that are being done. But that's the reason. That is the gap now of the interaction of these the executives, and including the president. Thank you,
Thank you, Chairperson. I've recovered now. I was just going to conclude by looking at the abstract from the Constitution. Now, before the Constitution 1, you say here, you say that you want to ensure that the National OSW Office functions, or the National OSW Office function provides support to ensuring the key objectives of the OSW for the strengthening of women's empowerment and gender equality. Then you come to the Constitution that says everyone is equal before the law and has the right to equal protection and benefits of the law. It's written in our Constitution. Equality includes the full and equal enjoyment of all rights and freedoms.
And I assume when they talk about all rights, they talk about the rights of having water, the rights of having all what Mas Remula has been talking about. And to promote the achievement of equality, legislative and other measures designed to protect or advance persons or categories of persons disadvantaged by unfair discrimination that may be taken. Now, we are talking about discrimination here. We're talking about equality. We're talking about measures that should be taken. Now, my question would be, as this office that is in the presidency, you talk about the projects that the deputy president is running. In immediately when you talk about that, in my mind, I was saying, which projects? Where? Because they are not visible. That's what was ringing in my mind. Now, Mama has covered me because I was going to say, what happens to the reports that the committee is submitting? Are you people really looking at the reports? What is happening? Do we have reports from the provincial OSWs? Do we have reports from the departments? Because when budget is allocated to the departments, there's also training money, the capacity building money within the departments themselves. Do we have reports from those departments on how many women they have trained and what capacity and what are they doing, those people? Really, after training the department, what is your measuring stick as this committee in making sure that they really know what they are supposed to be doing down there? We've got Department of Land Affairs, Department of Agriculture, Department of Water Affairs, Department of Transport, Department of Roads. You know, in other areas, when you get there driving your car, you should leave your car here about 5 kilometers and walk where you want to go to, because there are no roads and there are people living there, and if you look around, only women and children are living there. Now, what is your measuring stick? Really, I want to repeat that let us stop being people, being office people. Let's just go out and try to see the reality on the ground.
And we are referring to the status of women in provinces.
In provinces.
That's what
you are saying. And we are saying this office must also monitor what those offices in the provinces are doing. Do you get reports from them? It's not necessary that we should come here, present beautiful reports, talk nicely, when people are dying on the ground. Bayafa abantu ngesizulu. Kasisuthu bathu bayafa kotasikwa. Arishumeleng bathu. Let's work for our people, not for ourselves.
Thank you, Mudu.
I can see the Gauteng thing is in you. What is happening in Gauteng?
Really, I'm not here. Chairperson, thank you. What is happening in Gauteng is even happening in my township now. I'm not here at all. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, Comrade Masrimula and Comrade Mantuli, they've said mouthfully. I don't want to repeat them. But I'm always worried about the monitoring.
Mm.
I had Masramula talk about the CDW. You know? The CDWs, huh? The CDWs. Those are field workers of, I think, of government. Maybe you can change this name of CDWP because they really don't know what they are doing. Just call them field workers, you know? In the 80s, we used to have advice centers in our township. Always I used to say, why don't you bring the advice centers back? Those advice centers, they were working. It was a branch out of Azapo, you know? In my township, we used to have 3 advice centers. People, they didn't go to social workers, they used to go to advice centers. And the social workers, they were in the office, in our administrating offices, and the advice centers in our churches, in our small corners, but you'll find queues in advice centers. And the social workers were paid by the government. The advice centers were getting nothing, but they were working in our country. And it was bad in the 80s. And this CTWs, we've got CTWs, many CTWs, most of the women in our structures are CTWs. They always tell us, we are CTWs. Why did you invite us in your meeting? We are CTWs. I'm worried. There's nobody who's monitoring the CTWs. They do nothing. You know? Because there are orphans. Last time in this committee, I talked about the social workers who are doing business with the orphans. It's winter time. If you can go to our township, you can see these orphans. There are no jerseys, no shoes, you know? Because you find this woman is staying in the informal settlement with in the small shack. Got 5 orphans. It's business. Who's monitoring, you know, this thing of orphans? Now the orphans, it's business. There's nobody's monitoring the social workers are doing nothing, you know? The city devils are doing nothing because they're supposed to, they're staying in our township, they're supposed to monitor all these things. Because there's nobody's monitoring the city devils, you know? One lady, she's a CDW friend of mine and mom's story. Always she's telling us that I'm writing exams, I'm studying this. That's why mom's story said, I think now she's doing master's. Because always she's writing, always she's doing this. You know? I don't remember that she's doing something. Change the name of CDWs, call them field workers. They must go to the field and work. You know? Thank you, Shepherdson.
That's part of training, madam. When you train them, when you write your training documents, that's what you get from all this. You have to include them. When we talk about civil society, I just want to say, Randy. Okay.
Yeah. You should just look after me and the mic. Because I want to give other people, I'm looking at the time here. Really, I want to give an opportunity to our researcher to say something, Christy down there. Because I think as a researcher, she's got her own ideas in her head and what she would be expecting to get from what she knows. Christy, can you say something before then she comes?
Thank you, ma'am. Firstly, I'd like to say I'm really impressed with the strategic plan. I take all the issues that members have raised, they are very important issues. But I don't think we can judge this team on the basis of non-performance of the previous team of the OSW. These are all new people that are here, and I think we need to give them a chance to actually implement the strategic plan and we can see where it's going. I think the strategic plan is very is strategic because it addresses important issues. The problem, I think, is to have a budget of 2.3 million and expect them to perform and to be visible and to be seen is ridiculous. Then I think that's the key thing. Had the budget been 20 million, we maybe would have seen the OSW really working at grassroots level and having provincial OSWs working and things like that. So I think within the confines and the constraints of the budget that's being proposed or that's being allocated, it's a good strategic plan. For me as a researcher, I think in terms of the reporting issues on international treaties and declarations and the like, I'm impressed to see that there are now countries' reports being written and being submitted, because that's something that's been lacking with the previous OSW structures. So in terms of those kinds of issues, I think it's a really good strategic plan. I think the issues that members address are very important, and we should look at ways that we could maybe incorporate some of those things, like members are saying, maybe specific programs or specific projects that we could that could be implemented in various provinces or the like. But I still think in terms of the budget, it's going to be a hard task to achieve all of these issues or all of these outputs for that budget.
Thank you, Christine. I'm deliberately doing this and because I think that's what we lack. The researcher cannot be conniving with the chairperson alone. The committee must also know what this researcher thinks. And you see now we've got different eyes on this. And you see, I want to mention that from where are we driven as activists, members of parliament, deployed members of different political groups into parliament, and our experience, Christy, as doing our oversight role. And when we go home, we are foot soldiers at the same time. And we experience what Mundu is saying. In the back of our mind, from the policies that are from the African National Congress, which is a leading party in parliament, our understanding of what we want is not coming through. That's the reason why you see us talking like this. We are all these things that I've mentioned, and we are members of parliament at the same time. So I think the experience that we have is not coming through precisely because the departments that we are supposed to deal with, you see, as this committee, we have got a mammoth task of looking at all the legislation from all departments. That's why you hear the comrades talking about land and all the other things. That's what we are supposed to be monitoring. And I cannot run away from the fact that this team of the OSW has done a lot of work in terms of what we have been having from the OSW. That is the reason why it is provoking this argument and debate from this side, because we've got something tangible that we can talk about now. So we are saying, Zanji, yes, we are echoing what the researcher is saying, but so that when we go in debate, it mustn't be strange things to you. We must, really talk about them again. And the debate, it must be about the budget that we want, because we want these things that we are talking about to be addressed. Yes, you can come in.
Thanks. Madam Chair, and to the members of the committee, I assume that this will be my last statement. And to the researcher, I take note of everything that he said, and particularly about the project. I have to go back and relook at the strategy with a new eye, so that I can also bring in the element of perhaps it's too high level, but needs to also have carry elements of going right down. You know, it's top down, bottom up. We're going to have to look at that. I take note of that. Thank you very much for finally bringing back and crunching the whole thing into saying against the poor budget. I just want to remind the committee that
the debate should be on increasing the funding for gender equality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the last member who spoke raised a point on the CDW that it quickly struck me that we need to, as the committee and as the OSW, look at the fact that, you have a mammoth task. The committee has a mammoth task because the entire thing is cross-cutting.
Yeah.
And the CDW issue has just raised the point is, who is monitoring them? If the committee calls every department, I think as part of its mandate, to account, such a question should be answered by the public service and administration. The cross-cutting nature would also give you a chance to present a better debate on the gender issue because we are carrying 2.3 million. Public service has a budget that it gives to the gender focal point.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are parts of the budget that drives projects. So I just wanted to remind the committee that when they're doing a gender budgeting, it's a holistic approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You know, from what Christy just said now,
it was the eye-opening also to myself, to all and others, that is where these gender focal persons are lacking, in actual fact. That's where they are not given the ground to work. Nobody considers what they are supposed to be doing. This is the work that the work that they should be doing in departments, overseeing the gender perspective.
Just on what Rufus has said about the CDWs. While I believe it's also our responsibility, because our work cuts across all sections, inside and outside, can we also, at your level, raise the issue of CDWs? Because, you see, what is causing confusion on the ground, too, is that these CDWs do not function on similar grounds. They differ from province to province.
Hmm.
In other provinces, they fall under health. In other provinces, they fall under public works. So it's just a mangled mousse of a cumbersome thing. You don't know what it is. That's when you talk to them, they will say, I'm a CDW. I work for government. I account to government. I don't account to the community.
Account to the MP.
Yeah, I mean that's what they can hardly even talk to the local councillor because they are CDW. They work for government. That's how it is.
I remember very well when the president first introduced this in his state of address of the nation. I don't know how many years back. What he was thinking in the back of his mind. It's about the community, the issues that have to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so as to curb the gap, and these people must be the ones who directly link with the people down there. I don't know if they don't understand what the president was saying. You see how they are diminishing what the president has been talking about, as if the president didn't know what he was saying. And why this, and the budget, the money that they are receiving. I think it's very unfair because the president, took an initiative of thinking who can address this. And they were given this opportunity. It's our people again. Randy, I think this is going to be my last comment to everyone. I was just listening to the problem that has arisen in Gauteng. And I'm looking at the women who are suffering there. And one time the president did say in Parliament here, the problem is that in each and everything that happens in Africa, it is the women and the children who are suffering. And right now, the women are in this place that they've been placed, where they are protected and everything. A lot of food is coming. And some of the things. But I'm just wondering whether we are thinking like the other people are thinking. You won't see the OSWs then? Mm-hmm. You see?
Social workers, no
good. If social workers are better off. Yes, the organization that will lead always is the ANC. But where are the arms? The ANCs in government.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all the other things. the OFW in these different provinces. Mm-hmm. Should be worried because the concern there is the women who are there and the children. And these are falling under them, you see? That is why you see us, how, and that's why Mantulu was so emotional. I think she has seen such a lot of, and it's heart-tearing, I'm telling you. And I also blame, Muntu and them and everybody. I haven't gone. I'm only going to go there Saturday. That's what I heard. I was in Gauteng in the NEC of the Women's League. The government in Gauteng is trying to really address this thing. But we should be seeing people who are having the responsibility of looking at women there also. The OFWs are doing nothing right.
Madam Chair, in response to that, even I was very amazed by the lack of our ability to quickly pull together in this issue. I spoke to the person who is the lead department in terms of war, you know, women and peace issues, and I suggested to her yesterday, you know, the NGM should have been taking an active role. What is it that we can do? She said, that's a brilliant idea. We should have a meeting. I never thought of it. And then I met the Home Affairs Gender Focal Point in Cape Town. She's attending a meeting in Cape Town on some conference on xenophobia. But I said to her, why is it that you're not being proactive as a person with that particular policy, yes, as a Home Affairs, and direct us? What is it you want us to do? So I think that it's going to have to be us now driving it with certain people, just a few core elements. And we've kind of identified some of the things we will do as the OSW, mm-hmm. from government officials, to sort of start taking care of the needs of the women and children. But through the presidency, we have advised Minister Pahad, ourselves and the ORC. We've got a quick report. She's done a quick report, and we've given our recommendation to Minister.
Last night I read a very sad story about this woman who gave birth to triplets. You know, triplets. She was running. You know, I was wondering. She fell on her stomach and she gave birth to triplets. And she said, "If I can just go home." And you ask, you just ask yourself. She's just like a woman who gave birth to a tree in Mozambique. You know, it's better she was running away from the water. What about, what is happening? You know, I can't even watch the news. Immediately when they say xenophobia, I just change the... I can't watch, because it's really, it's very painful, because I'm thinking about the children, the women. Go to small street, to Methodist Church, you know? Last week I phoned one of the Zimbabwean guys. He's right inside there because my mother is just a Zimbabwean. You know?
Maybe that's the other part you didn't know about.
You know, I ask her, what is happening there? You can't even go out. You know? You ask yourself the children, where they are. Just think about the woman, if maybe that month she's not feeling well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What is happening?
That's
they are stuck in that small church because they're afraid to go out. Yeah? What is happening?
Does anyone think of bringing those things? What the women are supposed to be using when that comes down?
Just to have first hand experience, Linda's daughter is working with the Red Cross and she's based right there. And a simple thing like she was just telling me yesterday, sanitary towels. And I think nappies, who was it, that dropped a load of nappies there for the mothers. You know, so it's that those kind of things now that we must start doing.
Mm.
Women lost their clothes. If every single public official can get one outfit, one dress, one shirt, one pants, we can get them taken care of.
I mean,
that's what we want to try.
And you know, we can't think of these things when something is disaster.
Yes.
We have public toilets in town, in Johannesburg. There are people who are working and they sit there. They take the toilet roll home.
Yes.
I'm just wondering whether they don't take to the other toilets. Because if you run into that toilet as a woman, and you are investigating, what will you need? She's supposed to sit there and the health must provide. You see? These are the things we are talking about. Okay.
No, but the person, there's a point that we are missing here. In all our policies,
in all our structures, in all our departments, in actual fact, in all what we are doing, the monitoring element is missing. We don't seem to have that whip that says, Mantuli, you are put here, you are supposed to do this. What have you done? What is the impact of what you are supposed to be doing? What impact have you made? We're lacking when it comes to that. The departments are relaxed. All the departments are relaxed. That's what I've been saying to agriculture. And they are cross with me to say that I've been debating about the land bank. Yes, I have. Because the land bank was supposed to be a developmental bank. But it's now operating like any other bank. Now, how do you help people who are poor when you are operating like every other commercial bank? If you look at the land bank in its inception 96 years ago, they were giving people, irrespective of their age, loans with low interest, 60 years to pay, implements, fertilizers, and a salary on top of that until they can produce. But when we come in, our people must see to it that they get fertilizers themselves. They are just given land. What do we expect? And some of our people were removed from where they were farming. They had all these implements. They had their cattle, which died in the process.
That's the transformation.
Now, how do we then transform? How do we make these people earn a living if we don't sacrifice something?
Even there, women are suffering.
Suffering, yes. Mm-hmm. Because men are going to the big cities trying to look for work. When they got there, they got married. Women are remaining in the rural areas with the children. So you ask yourself, really, what is it that is happening in this department? Why all these beautiful reports without any progress made on the ground? So we're talking like this because really there's some degree of frustration in us as well. In so much that if they can correct my pension, I can leave this place.
Thank you.
To what the Honourable MP is raising. Yes, I agree that the element of monitoring, and I think when we when we go back and reflect on the way the mechanism for the machinery was envisioned, the monitoring took on past three different levels. The OSW's monitoring doesn't have the same impact that the committee here or the CGE's monitoring can have. Our monitoring will be in terms of driving the program.
Mm-hmm.
But the level of monitoring that this committee can enforce is tremendous in accountability,
mm-hmm.
because you can get people to come here and account. But the CGE has the greatest powers because they can subpoena anyone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And are we seeing that?
No.
No
way. Either than fighting or not. Yeah. And you know, when you talk about this monitoring, I've been talking to myself, you know, I have a conference with myself sometimes. That are we doing justice, you know, as this
government? Thank you, my dear. Now, in my mind, I have a picture of Dadunzo, the late Alfonso, was one of our very strict
inspectors, health inspectors in Johannesburg, the old Johannesburg. He was plating Alexander and all the other players. I think he was a senior person then, but that we are still young. All. But I remember we feared those inspectors at that time.
Mm.
Because if a health inspector can see you selling food in the street, as we are doing now, not protected, many things. In schools, they used to come.
Mm.
We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I always think, people, am I the only one who's thinking of these health inspectors? Are the people who are senior in government not thinking? Because some of them are even older than me. They should not compare, you know, what was happening during our earlier days and now. And that's the transformation I'm talking about. That what are we saying? What kind of transformation is this? Transforming to a lower or higher, you know? Those are some of the things. I wanted to close this meeting.
Okay.
I think we are agree. We have come to consensus as this meeting. We know that the budget that we are looking for is not enough.
It's not.
That's what we are saying. And within our speeches, different speeches that we'll be doing for the debate, I think these are the things that it's good that we have sent this out so that people can collect points, and when they debate, you are not taken aback because you don't know what to say. And as for you people from the OSW, thank you very much. Right. And I think you, for the mere fact that you thought about empowering the National Gender Machinery, it's a very good idea. I think so far you have addressed all the other things that the thematic areas that you were talking about. And I think this is very good of you. And we are hoping, Linda, is it Linda? That when we are saying we train as parliament, you must gear up that you are going to train at some stage. Mm-hmm. And you must prepare yourself. It's good that they came with you so that we can see what... This is very good work, that things, areas that you have identified are very good. Thank you very much to all the members. And what is it? No food, no what?
No food.
Finger lunch. When? Are you going?
No, we'll
you can have it. Not like last time when you left it.
Yeah.
I think we have exhausted really what we were about. Those who think can remain and have finger lunch, I think will be happy to sit with them. Some of us don't have any other engagements. We are old, you know. Yeah, so we don't. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
The committee of old people.